Reignite on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Welcome back to Reignite. I'm Áine Kerr. Keep your text messages coming on 51551. Email to reignite@rte.ie or tweet at reignite@rte. Now, one of the themes at the heart of what Bernard Jackman was just talking about is the idea of mindset. But how do we build and strengthen an open mindset or make sense of neuroscience research that says there is in fact something to the idea of trusting your heart? Jean Gomes is the author of Leading in a Non-Linear World, Building Wellbeing, Strategic and Innovation Mindsets for the Future. Jean was the co-author of the New York Times bestseller, The Way We're Working Isn't Working. We spoke earlier and I began by asking him to describe what a non-linear world looks and feels like today.
Well, it's a great question. I think the world feels very uncertain for lots of people. It feels as if the ideas, the playbooks, the ways in which we've lived our life and work are in question. And a non-linear problem is one where we really don't know whether the inputs and the outputs are in a kind of A to B direction. If I put this amount of effort in, will I get this result? We don't necessarily know what the problem is and what the outcome will look like. The evidence for this that the world is more uncertain and more linear. There's lots of anecdotal experience that people have, but the real test of this is economic and political stability. You know, is the world predictable? And it's been on the increase since 1942 and started being measured by the IMF. And it went into turbo drive in 2016 with Trump and then COVID and then Brexit and then AI. So we are living in a very uncertain and non-linear environment.
And in a moment like this, there's so much that is beyond our control. And one of those things you believe that is within our control in these moments of uncertainty is mindset and the right mindset. Do you think it's overused now? Has its meaning changed? What does mindset mean to you in this moment of a non-linear world?
I suppose when I started hearing that word about 15 years ago, doing work in places like Google and eBay and in Silicon Valley, the word became adopted in code for lots of different things. And when I asked people, and we have subsequently asked thousands of people what this word means to them, they don't really know. Our answers fall into two categories. One is around the kind of dictionary definition. It's beliefs, it's attitudes to things, but they actually mean lots of other things like personality and social affiliation and political leanings and all sorts of things. The other is quite different. It's an idea that this person holds or a mental framework. So it could be they've got a project management mindset. You know, they look at the world in spreadsheets and linear, or they have got an entrepreneurial mindset. They look at the world in terms of business models and so on. So what they really mean is how this person makes sense of the world. And I think that's really important because when we think about change, when we think about responding to this uncertain world, the one thing that we all get to control is how we make sense of things, how we respond to it, whether we're in control of the things that we can influence. And mindset is really how we make sense of that. And at the same time, because my origins were in science, I started looking at the neuroscience of this 10 years ago, and we're now at a point where we actually have some answers about what our mindset actually is, as opposed to it just being a sort of intellectual concept.
What has that research shown you? Because listeners will be familiar with Carl Dweck's work around there's a growth mindset, there's a fixed mindset. Is there any one mindset that is the right one for moments like this in this non-linear world that you describe?
We did research into thousands of papers and hundreds of books on mindset. And what we found is they all fall into the same trap of describing either the behaviors or the mental models that people hold around a particular mindset. And so what the problem with the current definition, and I extend that to Carol Dweck's work, is that it's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it tells you what it is. It doesn't tell you how to do it. And then research that was subsequently carried out into teaching children, less than 15% of it worked over thousands and thousands of children worldwide, because what we were doing is we were telling them that they could believe things differently. So we're telling them about their beliefs and we're telling them about their fixed and growth mindset models, but we weren't really telling them how to do it. And we weren't telling them the most important engine of mindset is your physical and emotional feelings. My conclusion about what a mindset actually is and what's actionable is that it's an interplay between three things: how you feel, think and see. because the latest neuroscience shows us that our brain is constantly working on a flood of assumptions. It makes sense of the world based on those assumptions of the past in comparison to what our feelings and reactions to what's happening to us in the moment are. So we have this interplay. And when we break this apart, we can see that there are mechanisms around how we feel, think, and see that we can strengthen and build mindsets for the future. And then the third part of your question, which is, well, is there an idealized mindset? The answer is kind of yes and no. I think the preferred thing to it is that we want to be able to strengthen those mechanisms. We want to be able to be more in tune with how we're feeling, thinking, and seeing. And then what's the most important mindset for the future? Well, it's the one that allows us to become more human in an automating world. Everything, you, me, everybody, are going to be faced with a dilemma in the next few years, which is a lot of the things that are algorithmic that we do, that we take for granted, will be replaced by software robots. And then we have to ask ourselves, well, what do we do? And I think the mindset that we really need to build is the one that allows us to interrogate our thinking and feelings more readily.
So let's say a lot of our listeners are often grappling with passion projects or leaving jobs to pursue a new purpose, a new calling. So if I'm feeling, thinking, seeing, and I'm trying to kind of work on my mindset in this non-linear world, what's some of the practical things that I can do to build, to strengthen that mindset so I'm getting that signal in the noise?
Well, it's, again, a great question. And I think the three things strongly around. One is really understanding your values. Because when you understand that, you have this chance of gaining greater integrity, establishing of what you stand for in relation to other people and the change that you want to bring about in the world. A lot of people try to do these exercises, but they do it from an aspirational point of view as opposed to who they actually are. So I think that's one part of it. The other part of it is to think about what does the world need from us in the future? And what it needs is people, humans, to be able to do things like situational analysis, so really make sense of what's happening in uncertain situations, to be able to do creative problem solving, to make good judgments, and to be able to form and enrich relationships. And those are the four sources of value creation that are uniquely human. You've got the ingredients to think about creating a career or to pivot into opportunities, because we don't know what jobs are going to look like in 2 or 3 years' time. There may be a job, for example, to coordinate intergenerational differences within large organizations. That doesn't exist because we have 5 generations cohabiting. There may be jobs to help really old people bring wisdom into the workplace. Again, that job doesn't exist at the moment. And if you think about these four sources of value, how could you bring yourself into that? So another element to this imagination, that a lot of us don't use our imagination to envisage how our values and our sources of value creation could show up in a different environment. And those are the three things that I think if you have fun playing with them, you can invent yourself for the future and reinvent yourself.
And yet we will all have moments in the future and in times past where someone will turn to you and say, follow your heart. Do you actually think there's something fundamentally true about trusting the body, making a leap of faith, because it does connect back to the brain, that there is that interchange when you connect all of those pieces, the feeling, the thinking, the seeing?
Absolutely. The research in this area is absolutely stunning, exciting, and it's going to become like the new emotion intelligence. Physical intelligence is going to become the new emotion intelligence in the next decade. It's grounded in research in something called interoception, which is the sum total of all the physical feelings in our bodies. And what it shows us is a readout on two things. One, our kind of how resourced we are, which is, you know, how much energy, how much fuel we've got in the tank and so on. But the other thing it tells us is our safety in the environment. And when we tune into that, we can start to make much better understanding of risk and uncertainty. And Antonio Damasio, a neuroscientist, 20 years ago, came up with this really exciting piece of research where he was testing people's ability to place bets and measure their physical responses. And what he found was you give people these decks of cards, 4 decks of cards, and give them a pot of money to bet. And very soon, they'd start realizing that 2 decks would give them money, they'd win, and 2 decks, they would lose. He measured their stress response by putting little resistors on their fingertips, which measures sweat. And we sweat micro amounts of sweat when we're experiencing stress. When you put the cursor or your finger on the deck, your body knew quite a long time before your mind did which was the bad and the good decks. So there have been now countless pieces of research are showing the same thing, which is our body knows a lot more about what's going on than our mind. And it's unfiltered information. It's not subject to the biases and, you know, the assumptions that we make. When we tune into this information, it gives us another strand. It's not necessarily completely to be trusted, but it gives us another amount of information that gives us the competitive advantage. And people who have got higher interoceptive accuracy, the ability to know what their body is telling them, are at the higher ends of performance and well-being. And one really interesting piece of research showed that stockbrokers in a finance company had the highest levels of this sensitivity, made 25% more profit than their peers, and their careers were much longer. There's a whole body of research showing, yeah, trust your feelings, trust your research, trust your heart, can lead to really interesting advantage.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. Jean Gomes, author of Leading in a Nonlinear World, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Anna.
Jean Gomes there, and his current book is called Leading in a Nonlinear World.